Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the pastor states in inviting the congregation to confess its sins in LW Divine Service 2. It's a paraphrase of the Apostle John's words in his first epistle. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Ash Wednesday is a day for confessing our sins. Ashes are used, at least in liturgically observant congregations, as signs of our sorrow and repentance. Sackcloth and ashes, the tearing of garments, were the symbols of sorrow used in the Old Testament. And yet it is possible to use all of these things and remain unrepentant. The prophet Joel aims at that when he calls upon God's people to rend your hearts and not your garments. Our Lord Jesus warns against practicing one's piety merely to be seen by others. It is possible to fool other human beings, but one cannot fool God. To try to do so is to be a fool in the truest sense. We must have sincere repentance. I was reading about the etymology of that word sincere not long ago. It comes from the Latin and is made up of two words, sine, meaning without, and carius, which means wax. So the word sincere literally means without wax, that is, free from deceit, hypocrisy, duplicity. In other words, you can't be two things at once. You can't be wax, first this thing, then this thing, and yet another thing. You can't mold yourself to fit the circumstances. You have to be one thing or the other, but not both. To try to be both is to be waxy. God calls us to account for our waxiness, our duplicity, our hypocrisy, our deceit. While we may fool many people, we do not fool God. Your Father in heaven sees and knows exactly what is in your heart. You cannot hide your heart from God. God requires that we have a sincere heart, that we have singleness of heart. Shall we make God a liar by denying our sin and our sinfulness? Shall we make God a liar by refusing to confess? Do we keep the word of the law from finding us and making us its target? To do so is not without precedent. Adam and Eve did it first, sewing fig leaves together to cover their sinful nakedness. Do we wear the sinful fig leaves of our own piety? Even David had covered up his sin with Bathsheba and managed to hide from God's accusations for nearly a year until God sent the prophet Nathan to deliver a self-indictment. And what of others like Isaiah and Paul? Do we confess with them our sinfulness? Do we say with Paul, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Sincere repentance is what God calls for today. No waxiness, no deceit, no duplicity, no hypocrisy, no phoniness. And why? Because anything less than the full truth makes God a liar. But like the Pharisees and others, we continue to fashion the fig leaves of our own piety. What makes you afraid? The war in Iraq, terrorists, the economy, your lack of material resources, health concerns for yourself or for loved ones, getting through Greek, getting through vicarage, a conflicted synod, the loss of everything that you hold dear. Surely there is something in that list that makes you afraid. But what of your sins? Do they make you afraid? Ash Wednesday whispers into your ears, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Do your sins against God terrify you? They should. If they do not, then you haven't repented, and you are toying with God. Worse yet, you make him out to be a liar. You are insincere. Listen to these familiar words. We say that contrition is the genuine terror of the conscience that feels God's wrath against sin and grieves that it has sinned. This contrition takes place when the Word of God denounces sin. Because the sum of the preaching of the gospel is to condemn sin and to offer the forgiveness of sins, righteousness on account of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, so that having been reborn, we might do good. Many people, including not a few Lutherans, will give up something for Lent. Such discipline may be a salutary practice if done for the right reasons. But giving up something for Lent often sounds as though I am appeasing God or trying to convince him that I am sincere. Look at what I am giving up, we say. We act as if we are negotiating with God over our sins, like lawyers pleading down to a lesser offense. Do you want to give up something for Lent? Why not give up sin? Confess it. Know deep down in your heart that your sins, even those little ones, merit your temporal and eternal death, God's full wrath and displeasure. Don't make God a liar by not confessing your sin. I dare say that the danger for us lies in the fact that we know too much. We can easily jump right to the gospel and gloss over any real repentance. We haven't examined ourselves very closely in light of God's law. Remember how Luther advises, consider your station in life according to the Ten Commandments. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you let the law of God terrify your conscience, so producing true contrition? It is God who strips away the fig leaves of our own piety and unmasks us. That's what Ash Wednesday should do. That's what Lent should do, indeed. It is the call of the baptismal life, is it not? Isn't it exactly what Luther stated in Thesis 1? When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. But too often we use the law to scold instead of kill, thinking that the law can improve us, that it can bring us life, that through it we can gain an advantage. Once the word of the law finds us and shines its spotlight into our hearts, It condemns us and causes us despair. But that is exactly what the law should do. The law should accuse. It should kill. Lex semper accusat. And then when we have confessed with David that we have sinned against God, God sends his proper word, the word about Christ. In the midst of these terrors of conscience, God sends the word of forgiveness through Christ. Precisely when God seems the farthest away because of the condemnation of the law, he is the closest. Grief is the state and emotion we feel when something important has been taken away from us. And so the old Adam is grieved because sin has been taken away from him. He despairs. But here's the important point. Faith in Christ grasps his absolution like a drowning man reaching for the life raft. We receive Christ's merits through faith. God has placed his forgiveness of sins in his word and in his sacraments. Shall we be like Judas, who did not grasp the forgiveness of sins by faith and so perished eternally? Or shall we grasp it as did Peter, who received his absolution from Christ? The power of the keys administers and offers the gospel through absolution, which is the true voice of the gospel, says Melanchthon in Apology 12. The keys truly forgive us, he goes on to assure us. By the grace and mercy of God, the true voice of the gospel is here, today, right now. It is offered every day before this community gathers for the divine service. And here is declared the same absolution that Nathan spoke to David. The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Here also is the tangible word of forgiveness in the true body and blood of your Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. To reject the absolution is to accuse God of falsehood, of saying that he doesn't really mean it. If one doubts the testimony of God, the Holy Spirit in his word, whether read from the scriptures or spoken through the mouth of his ordained ministers, then one makes God a liar. Just as the Apostle John writes, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Today is a day to confess sincerely, to confess your mortality because of your sins, to know and feel the wrath of God because of them. But it is also a day to flee again to the mercy of God in Christ, to find real forgiveness in him through faith. It is to confess. That is to say the same thing as God says about your sins, and even greater, to say the same things as God says about your forgiveness in Christ. Today is the solemn assembly to speak truthfully about ourselves so that we may speak truthfully about what God has done for us in Christ. May God the Holy Spirit grant it for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.